तद्वै तद् एतदेव तदास सत्यमेव सयोहैतं महद्यक्षं प्रथमजं वेद सत्यं ब्रह्म इति जयति इमान् लोकान् जित इन्नु असौ असत् य एवं एतं महद्यक्षं प्रथमजं वेद सत्यं ब्रह्म इति सत्यं एव ब्रह्म. This is another symbol for meditation. Meditate on that being as truth. The truth. That alone can be true and nothing else can be true. Can you regard the ultimate being or reality as true? That alone was. Tadeva tadasa. Tat tadeva tadasa. The word tat is repeated 3 times here. That alone, that existed. And what existed was true. This is the most adorable of all beings, Mahat Yaksham. Yaksham is adorable, worthy of worship and veneration. And great venerable being is this, Mahat Yaksham. And it is the first of all existence, the primeval reality, Prathamajam. Nothing existed prior to it. A thing that can be absorbed into its cause cannot be called ultimately true, because it is an effect of some other cause. The true is that which can maintain its status for all times. There is nothing in this world which can maintain such a status. Everything changes. Everything transforms itself into something else, because everything is an effect of some cause. There comes a time when the effect will go to the cause. And inasmuch as everything in the world seems to modify itself into something else, it is apparent that the whole world is an effect and not a cause by itself. Therefore, the world cannot be regarded as true. The evolutionary process will reveal that nothing anywhere in the process of evolution can be regarded as true. Because when A is absorbed by B, B can be absorbed by C, C can be absorbed by D, and so on and so forth. There is a chain action of one thing absorbing another. But there must be an end for this. A small stream goes to a rivulet, and the rivulet enters the river, and the river goes to the ocean, but the ocean does not go anywhere. It is self-contained, self-sufficient, self-complete. So likewise, everything goes to something else. Everything hangs on something else. Everything tends to something else in the evolutionary process. But there is a stage where everything stops. The end of evolution is reached. That cannot be called an effect of anything, because it is not modified into something else. It exists in its own status. It is pristine existence. And therefore that is true. That being is true. Contemplate thus. Prathamajam, the original being. Satyam Brahma. Contemplate thus. Truth is Brahman. If this can be conceived, this will be a symbol for meditation. Satyam Brahma, iti jayati iman lokan. Just as truth succeeds everywhere, he succeeds everywhere who meditates thus. Everywhere, wherever you touch, you will have success. There can be no suffering, no defeat, no withdrawal, no setback. Everywhere you shall win victory, provided you are able to contemplate the Supreme Brahman as truth. Because truth triumphs, and we shall also triumph wherever you go, wherever you are, whatever you do. Jayati iman lokan, the whole world you conquer, says the Upanishad, because of this contemplation on truth as the absolute. Jita innu asau asat, you cannot have any opponent afterwards. Nobody can oppose you. Nobody can oppose truth. And if you contemplate truth as Brahman, You become an embodiment of truth, and who can oppose you, just as no one can oppose truth? You will have no enemies afterwards. There can be no adversary. The adversary becomes a non-existent something. Asat he becomes. Because you contemplate Sat. No Asat can stand before Sat. So inasmuch as you contemplate Sat as Brahman, Asat cannot be before you. So everyone who is an object, who is in the position of an external, ceases to be before you. You conquer everything. There cannot be any adversary or enemy or opponent before you afterwards. Jita inno asau asat ja eva metam mahadyaksham prathamajam veda. Who conquers thus all things? He who contemplates thus truth as Brahman. As the most adorable of all beings, most venerable and most desirable, the origin of all things, the cause of all causes, into which everything returns in the end. One who knows this truth as Brahman becomes truth veritably Brahman, which is. Prathamajam Veda Satyam Brahma, Iti Satyam Kheva Brahma. What else can be Brahman but truth? How can you define it in any other way except that it is true? The highest characterization of Brahman would be that it is truth, and truth is God. While someone may deny that God exists, no one can deny that truth exists. And when you say truth is God, no one has anything to say to it. Such a contemplation will lead to the success of all enterprises in life, because success is the prerogative of truthfulness. And where you are in consonance with the highest reality, which is truth, you shall be success and success and success wherever you are, whatever you do. So thus is a symbolic meditation on truth as Brahman. Just as you had a symbolic contemplation on Hridaya, a heart as Brahman in its linguistic connotation, here you have another meditation on truth as Brahman. As we noted, contemplations of this kind are not easy. You have understood the meaning of these instructions and advice given in these Upanishads, but you cannot easily set your mind to the task of contemplation in this manner. Because no one can wholeheartedly get oneself absorbed in a particular thought, unless one is convinced that that thought is a whole thought and it is not a partial thought. All failure in meditation is due to the incompetency of oneself in convincing one's own self that the thought of meditation is a complete thought. We have always a subconscious doubt that it is only one of the thoughts among many other possible thoughts that we are entertaining in meditation. We may not logically argue out this kind of conclusion, but the subconscious mind pinches from inside. The unconscious revolts. It says, this is only one of the thoughts that are possible. So why not have some other thoughts instead of this? So the meditation fails. If some other thoughts also are possible, in addition to the thought that you are trying to entertain in meditation, and if any other thought can be equally good as the one that you are thinking of entertaining in meditation, why not go to the other thought? If that shop is as good as this, I can have purchases made from the other shop. But if you know that this is the only shop where you can have everything, and here is the shop where everything is available, then you need not go to other shops. But it is hard to reconcile oneself to the feeling that the thought entertained in meditation is the whole thought. We are psychologically poor and philosophically bankrupt, and therefore meditation is hard. Hard task is meditation, of course. Because who can convince oneself that the thought in meditation is a comprehensive thought. Even if it is a thought of God, you will have a subconscious possibility or alternative provided to think of what is other than God. But you cannot at that time argue that there is nothing other than God. The mind falls from its original conviction and philosophical conclusion that God is all. Though that was the conclusion and that was the idea with which you started to contemplate, God is all and outside Him nothing can be, something begins to crop up outside God when you start meditation. Then you think of the tree, you think of the dog, you think of the mountain, you think of the shop, you think of anything. Now, the idea that it is possible to have something other than or external to the being of God is a frailty of meditative consciousness. It is a weakness in our thought. You are not up to the mark to meditate. It only means that. How did you convince yourself that God is all, and now you begin to say that there is something other than God, and the mind goes out? How can it go out when you have already satisfied yourself that it is the all on which you are contemplating? How can there be something more than the all, external to the all, other than the all? So psychological weaknesses persist even in advanced types of meditation. So what I point out is that meditations are not easy, though the understanding of these techniques, it may appear to be intelligible to you, the heart will revolt because of the old habit of thinking in terms of particulars and the habit of the mind to imagine, to entertain the notion that whatever be the characterization of the all in your meditation, there is something outside the all. However illogical that concept be, it shall persist and it presents itself in meditation, and you come down to the level of that so-called other. This is the pity in meditation from which one has to guard oneself. Philosophically, you have to be unshakable. No one should be able to shake your thoughts and convictions by any amount of logic. Your logic should be superior to every logic in the world. Only then you can start meditating. If somebody tells something else, your mind wavers. Oh, perhaps he is right. That means you have never understood anything. Why do you go to meditate? So, first of all, be sure that your logic is unshakable. And no other logic can shake your logic. You have understood all the aspects of logical thinking. And you have come to a final conclusion. So, no question of the mind thinking something else as an alternative or a different possibility. With such conviction, meditation should commence and it shall reach to the required result. Hari Om Tat Sat.